Right now, we're going to Blue Jays Talk It Up. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls to the top of the hour. Blue Jays lose it 10-6 to the Baltimore Orioles. This is the first time this season that the Blue Jays have scored 5 runs in a game and lost, at least 5 runs, that is. They had won the previous 15 times they had done that. Tough night for Sean Nolan. Deserve better in the first inning. Full measure for getting beat up in the second inning. The Blue Jays had some opportunities early to really take down Chris Tillman and make this a ball game, but couldn't manage to get it done. Also, I'm sure there will be people who want to talk about Brett Laurie's ejection in the third inning. Again, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We're going to start things off with Smitty in Calgary, listening in on Sirius XM Radio. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you. That was a pretty damn, a pretty darn good game. It's just a shame, I'll be very blunt, that umpires and baseball referees and other sports are ruining it for the fans. And I think it's time we start bringing in a fines, some kind of fines or suspensions for these guys to either be professional or get out.
Well, there are supervisors, and they do get fined, and not nearly enough, but occasionally we do hear about an umpire getting disciplined. A lot of times they get disciplined and we don't hear about it, but I don't understand why there has to be this veil of silence around what they do and how they're being judged. It seems like sports leagues go out of their way to protect these guys and not hold them accountable. And if Dan Bellino doesn't want to talk about why he threw Brett Laurie out of the game tonight, Dan Bellino doesn't have to talk about why. He's under no obligation to answer questions from reporters.
This is where I think when you got they now have the trackers that show the ball where the ball is. And these umpires, like even the Jerry and them, they were mentioning they were definitely high, and the other one was low. And I can understand, Brett Laurie is a tight spring, no doubt about it. But when the umpire makes blatant calls like that, probably on the other, on all through the game, to me that means he's not doing the proper job. I would say start with a $5,000 fine. And if he throws a player with a legitimate thief and it's proven afterwards, add another $10,000 on it. And if the crew chief opens his mouth, $20,000 for the rest of them, then maybe we'll start getting some professional, officiating.
I'm certainly not willing to go that far. First of all, something that you have to remember that really, really needs to be remembered is that these guys are human beings, and calling balls and strikes is exceedingly difficult. And I don't blame them for getting a lot of calls wrong. I really don't.
You take that umpire and I'm kicking myself for not remembering. The man blew a call that took away a no-hitter for
Jim Joyce, that one. That's different.
And the man apologized the
yes,
next
he
day.
Did.
Now, to me, that umpire elevated himself up to a professional.
I don't want to get caught up in semantics here, Smitty. Yeah. They're all professionals,
I have watched. I think it was Fox was the first one to use the tracker.
Yep.
Where the umpires were calling strikes, the ball was clearly out of the strike zone.
I firmly believe that they're not doing it on purpose. Only on very rare occasions are umpires calling pitches outside the strike zones strikes on purpose. I think that for the most part, they're just getting it wrong. And they don't sit directly in the middle of the plate. They're generally looking over the catcher's shoulder, left or right, depending. So they don't have as great a view as possible. And again, they're not robots. I've advocated for a long time and not tongue-in-cheek at all, for robot umpires, for a system kind of like that Cyclops system that they have in tennis that calls pitch, calls serves in and out. You could do that with the strike zone, but as long as you've got human beings calling balls and strikes, you're never going to get anywhere even close to perfection. I want to get a lot of other callers in, so I thank you for the call. I'm going to let you go. Here's the thing.
Okay. All right.
Here's the thing for me.
Yeah.
They didn't. Dan Bellino did not call poor pitches strikes on Brett Laurie on purpose. Therefore, when Brett Laurie reacts the way Brett Laurie reacts, Dan Bellino and likely every other umpire is sitting there going, well, this guy's just being an idiot and he's being a hothead. I didn't do anything wrong. He's just upset that he struck out. Because I firmly do believe that most of the time, umpires actually don't think that they're butchering calls that badly. Maybe they're self-aware enough to realize, I might have missed that one. Let's give this guy a little bit of leeway. But most of the time, I think they get the overwhelming majority of their calls right. And I think they kind of have to think that way. So,
well, I've seen that young umpire a couple of times before, and he reacts without thinking. And I'm sorry, but my play is he needs to be sent back to the minors and start again.
All right. I appreciate the call, Smitty. Thank you very much. For me, and maybe you've seen Dan Bellino umpire a lot more than I have, he doesn't stand out to me as a guy who goes after arguments, looking for fights, and is belligerent. Here's what I'll say about Brett Laurie's ejection today. I think that Dan Bellino believed that he was ejecting Brett Laurie properly for a legitimate reason, because Laurie flipped the batting glove back towards the plate and it landed in the batter's box close to Bellino's feet. And if I'm an umpire, I am throwing a player out for doing that. I believe that Brett Laurie had absolutely no intent to show the umpire any disrespect. And I think when you watch him as he walked up the third baseline, see the look on his face, it's not that super angry Brett Laurie, I'm going to get this guy. It's exasperation for sure. And he's just tossing his batting gloves back towards where his bat and his batting helmet were for the bat boy to pick up. So I honestly believe that Dan Bellino firmly thought he was correct to eject Brett Laurie. And I think that Brett Laurie was absolutely right to think, why the heck did this guy just throw me out of the game? And it's unfortunate that it works out that way. Jordan in Thornhill, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Jordan, before we start, Tom Young, our fine engineer and producer here, just handing me a note. Sean Nolan has been optioned back to New Hampshire. So he's going back down to Double-A for a while, and we'll see a reciprocal move, I'm sure, before the game tomorrow. So just so everybody knows, Sean Nolan back down to Double-A New Hampshire. Now go ahead, Jordan.
What's been going on with the infield? Like, the throws, I think today, all three infielders bounce throws to Edwin. Like, should that be happening?
It shouldn't be happening from second. It's happening a little too much from second base. I don't think Munenori Kawasaki has an especially great arm. So you're going to see that happen. And Brett Laurie does. But every once in a while, he's going to bounce a throw. And I'm willing to give him a buy on that because he does so many things so well defensively.
Yeah, I think with Brett Laurie, he always looks like he's rushing a bit, and he's like doing a quick sidearm throw. And then, he ends up bouncing it.
Yeah, sometimes he does look like he's rushing it. And sometimes he bounces it. But more often than not, he's making spectacular plays over at third base. But yeah, I'm not loving the Emilio Bonifacio not being able to get that throw over on a regular basis. From Kawasaki, I get it. And from Laurie, I'm willing to let it go. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Again, Sean Nolan has been sent back down to Double-A New Hampshire. We'll see another move from the Blue Jays tomorrow. Laura is in Etobicoke, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Laura.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that I hope fans don't misconstrue. I didn't watch your game. I should preface it. I listened to you on the radio tonight.
That's nice of you. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And, so I didn't see it, but I'll probably watch it in the Blue Jays in 30 later on. But I don't think that he intended for it to come across as a hothead. So I just kind of want to say, like, fans, chill out, because I know there are people that still think he's a hothead. And I don't think that's how he intended it. I think it's just a miscommunication, a misconstruction of actions. So, I want fans hopefully to not get all worked up again over that. I think he's grown over the last couple of seasons. So that's all I have to say.
All right. I appreciate the call. I think so, too. I don't think he was overreacting. I don't think he was being a hothead. I don't think he was. He certainly wasn't going after the umpire. He didn't say a word. The problem was that the umpire interpreted the flip of the batting gloves as an insult when, you know, in the heat of the moment, it's easy to do that. We're a few hundred feet back and certainly not, well, one would hope, not in the emotional state that either of those guys are in. And we can see it for what it was, which was Lori wasn't trying to show up the umpire. But I can see how the umpire would think that he was. But I have no problem with the way Brett Lori handled that situation. I wonder if John Gibbons did. I think we'll find out. We'll get to more of your calls in a second. But first, let's listen and see what manager John Gibbons had to say in the postgame.
Gibby, it was a pretty rough night for the kid. What did you see? And
it was a tough go for him, no question. But you know what? I told him he was going down that, you know what, I don't want you leaving here with any negative thoughts. You know, you'll be back. Someday, you know, you'll look back and laugh at this because you're better than that. I mean, you never know how debuts are going to go. That's just the way the game is sometimes at this level. So you can go down there and continue to work your way back up, and you know what? You got a bright future, so. Right, yeah. Even Aaron Sebia told me everything was kind of flat, you know, flat in the zone. And, you know, they didn't miss anything. You know, I mean, they're a good hitting ball club. You know, they make you pay when you know, mistakes. And everybody knows how the ball flies in this ballpark. I mean, it was pinball out there tonight. So, but he'll be fine. You know, he's a good kid, and he's I'm sure he wanted a great one. We wanted him to have a great one, but that doesn't always happen at this level.
John, you seem to have a pretty lengthy conversation with Nolan on the mound when you took him out. What did you say to him?
Oh, I just said, hey, hold your head high, don't worry about it. Get out of here and, you know, you'll be back, you'll bounce back. I don't know how lengthy it was, but.
John, how did the whole situation with Brett and his ejection play out? What was exchanged between you and the umpire? How did that whole scenario play out?
Well, I'm not going to let you in on that, but I think what got him when he flipped his batting glove, I think, back at him. You know, because Brett turned and walked away, you know. I mean, he tossed his helmet and his bat right there, but then he's walking away, he flipped his glove. I think that's probably what got him. You know, he pointed, you know, after he did drop his helmet, is a equipment violation. That's where they get you. You're throwing your stuff. And then, but he turned his head and walked off. Next time, he's got to throw your gloves the other direction, I guess, so.
Do you think Nolan was let the moment get to him? Do you think he was nervous?
Well, I hope he was nervous. I expect him to be. I mean, everybody when they make their debut, you know, there's a lot going through your mind. You know, you want to do great. It's tough to rest. See, you get easily distracted. You know, here it is. Here's your first opportunity. You know, everybody dreams about getting to the big leagues, and here it is. In a lot of ways, you know, it's tough to focus on what you're doing. You know, so. You know, some guys have great debuts, some guys don't. I mean, that's just the way it is. But it's by no means a reflection on who he is and his abilities, and because we think he's going to still be a good one.
So there he is, manager John Gibbons, explaining the Blue Jays' decision to option Sean Nolan back to Double-A New Hampshire. Nolan made his major league debut tonight and gave up 6 runs on 7 hits in an inning and a third with a walk, no strikeouts, and 1 home run allowed. Blue Jays fall 10-6. To the Baltimore Orioles. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Up to the top of the hour. Back to the phones. Ian is in Sudbury, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome aboard, Ian.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Pleasure to talk to you. first-time caller, long-time listener, but tonight I've got a real question mark in my mind about our so-called number one catcher, Mr. Aaron Sebia, who I think tonight went 0-for-5. I don't know how many guys he left on base, but...
he left 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, you know, at this point in his career, or this point in the season, and combine it all, that's unacceptable. That turns a 10-6 loss into an 11-10 win. Now, he's not the only one. They had 17 hits. You know, they had way too many guys on base that were not being driven in. Aaron Sebia, I don't know how many times he struck out tonight. I think
three.
I saw him strike out 3 times.
Yep.
But, you know, he's got 2 walks and about 65 strikeouts. I don't know whether he needs an eye examination or whatever, but or needs to spend a lot of time with a hitting coach who can correct his problems, because, you know, it's so predictable. He's either going to hit a home run, and that may be 10% of the time, and the other 90% of the time, he's going to strike out. And
well, that's not true at all, right? You understand that that's not true. You're just frustrated, and that's okay.
Well, the thing is,
if he does hit a home run 10% of the time, I will take the strikeouts in every other bat, by the way.
Well, his strikeout ratio to his home runs is what?
5-1.
Okay. So there you go. But I mean...
what do you mean there you go?
One of the biggest problems with this team, besides Aaron Sebia and Rasmus striking out and everybody else striking out all the time, is they can't drive in runs. So somebody's got to address that issue and try to figure out, you know, are they squeezing the bats too tight? Like, why can they not, you know, none out, one out, they got guys at the corner, and they can't get one run in, and that goes on and on and on, game after game after game.
It's not true. I'm sorry. And again, I understand you're frustrated, and this was a frustrating game to see them give up 9 runs over the first 3 innings. It's simply not true. The Blue Jays are just about as good with runners in scoring position as they are the rest of the time. And in the overall, certainly, it's not good. The Blue Jays are hitting .243 as a team, or at least they were going into tonight's game. So that's gone up a little bit. But going into tonight's game, they're hitting .243 as a team. And with runners in scoring position, they're hitting .242. So there really isn't a standout difference, like you say, and it's very unfair to pin this loss on J.P. and Sebia going 0-for-5 when the Blue Jays got 6 runs on 17 hits in the game. Sure, a hit could have helped, and yes, it's very frustrating to see the 58 strikeouts against 2 walks, and that's, you know, there's no pretty face to put on that. That's absolutely brutal that he struck out 58 times and only walked twice this season, but tonight's loss is not on J.P. and Sebia. This had way more to do with the pitching than anything else.
They would be better off in some circumstances. We heard at the start of this year that with the speed on this team and everything else and the type of players that they had, that there was going to be more of a tendency to try to lay down a bunt.
No, you didn't, Ian. John Gibbons does not bunt. He doesn't give away outs. It's never been his game, and you certainly did not hear that the Blue Jays were going to be a small ball team. Maybe that they were going to steal a bunch of bases with Reyes and Bonifacio and Rajay Davis and guys like that, but not bunt. No. Blue Jays lost 10-6 to the Baltimore Orioles. So Thomas in Toronto has called, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Thomas.
Hey, Mike. Good to see the way the bats are turning around. I mean, especially Melky Cabrera at the top of the lineup. But mostly what I called about tonight, I've heard you over the last couple seasons. I don't want to say apologize for Brett Lowry, but, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. The kid is very immature. It's becoming a PR nightmare for the Blue Jays. Okay, and
What are you talking about? Where's the PR nightmare?
What I'm saying... To me,
well, no,
I think
all the
attention...
You can't say things like that and let them hang in the air when they're completely untrue. You're required to defend your statements.
Okay.
How is he a PR nightmare for the Blue Jays?
Because this is something that comes up on the highlight reel okay, when it showed on your competitor stations or even your station. I mean, with Brett Laurie throwing a fit.
Brett Laurie did not throw a fit tonight.
Okay.
By no means. Brett Laurie, if you show the highlight of this ejection, then over, I would say well over 50% of the people who watch that highlight would think, he didn't do anything. Why did he get thrown out of the game?
Okay, well, Greg Zahn broke it. To me, the way Greg Zahn broke it down was absolutely correct. Okay?
Okay, I'm not listening to Greg Zahn, so you have to tell me what he said.
Okay, basically, Greg Zahn said he clearly understands why the umpire threw Brett Laurie out of the game, and it shouldn't be beyond anyone's comprehension why Brett Laurie got thrown out of the game.
Oh, and as I explained 10 minutes ago, I clearly understand why the umpire threw Brett Laurie out of the game, too.
But there
was no fit, there was no rage, there was no sign of immaturity at all. I mean, you want to comment on Brett Laurie and there was no sign of immaturity?
I don't think there was. Okay, so when big league batters are basically disagreeing with a call, they typically throw their glove? They typically do that? Or do they typically go back to the dugout and sort of vent their frustration, sort of like what Bautista does or what Paul O'Neill used to do?
Well, at the end of an inning, when you're walking back out to the position, you discard your equipment. Surely you agree with me on this.
Yes.
Right? The mistake that he made was that he tossed his batting gloves back towards the plate where his bat and his helmet were for the bat boy to pick up.
And
had
Sportsnet,
he simply
your
dropped
station,
them, yeah, it was not my
picked
station,
up Laurie
yep.
on camera, again, right. like he typically does after every at-bat, screaming F-bombs, which you're okay with, which I heard you on a call the other day.
Yeah,
saying,
I'm totally fine with that. These guys are professional athletes. They're allowed to be frustrated.
That's
and I believe
behavior.
if it's correct, Laurie didn't say a word until after he was ejected from the game. Not
me,
a word, Thomas.
Okay, to me.
You can't make stuff up. He didn't say a word till he was thrown out of the game.
Okay, but what difference does it make?
Well, you're
he's on the field and he's throwing a fit.
Yes.
On the
Have
field.
You ever seen a Major League Baseball player get ejected from a game and not get upset?
But
Thank
we got
you.
To understand
no,
here. Lord,
no, Thomas, no, that's it. I mean, you can't. He's 22 years old. He just got thrown out of the game. He's going to be angry, and he has every right to be angry about it. That's the way it works. He didn't beat up a Gatorade ball. He didn't throw anything on the field. He didn't fire a batting helmet at an umpire. He didn't do any of those things. He did it. In fact, I thought he was showing quite a bit of maturity prior to the ejection. And then he got angry. But again, didn't get as angry as a lot of people get when they get thrown out of a ball game. You want to pick on somebody, pick things that actually happen to pick on. Blue Jays lose at 10-6 to the Orioles. We'll come back and wrap things up. It is the Honda Post Game Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Blue Jays lose at 10-6 to the Baltimore Orioles. Quick look at the scoreboard. Yankees beat the Rays 9-4, but they lose Curtis Granderson again. Hit by a pitch again. Breaks a bone again. This time it's his pinky finger. He's going to miss at least 4 weeks. The Detroit Tigers beat the Minnesota Twins 6-0. Anibal Sanchez, a no-hitter into the ninth. Joe Mauer broke it up with a line shot up the middle with one out. Sanchez gets the win. He winds up with a one-hitter, striking out 12. Jays and Orioles continue this series tomorrow. We're on at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for a 107 first pitch. R.A. Dickey against Freddie Garcia. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.